title of our lesson today is In Remembrance of Me. Brother Kent read our scripture reading this morning, and it was taken from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. We often use this passage. A lot of times the men use this prior to the Lord's Supper. And it's very fitting. I'd like to read this again and then look at it a little bit closer. Paul starts off telling the Christians in Corinth, he says, "For I received from the Lord." He's not making this up. It's not just coming off the top of his head. He received this from the Lord himself. "That which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" It was mentioned by Brother Ken when we were taking the Lord's Supper. We do this weekly. We are given command to remember the Lord's death. We have the example of the first century Christians coming together weekly to take of the bread, to drink of the cup, remembering the sacrifice that was given for us. A sacrifice that none of us could have come up with on our own. None of us. He wants us to do this every time we come together, every week, and not a week to go by without us remembering that. Hopefully, we remember Jesus in our thoughts daily. Hopefully. But when we come together as a body, every week, he wants us to do that and do it in his memory. And that's important. Not just going through the motions. We were talking in Preston's Bible class today. We were talking in Micah. And one of the questions in Micah was, it says, you know, "With what shall I bring to you, God?" You know, God wants our sacrifices. But more than our sacrifice, we can give the sacrifices, but going through the motions. He wants our hearts. He wants our lives. And when we come and we partake of the bread and we drink of the fruit of the vine, in the same manner that Jesus instituted it in, remembering, and he says, "Do it in his memory, in remembrance of him." Not for some other reason, not going through the motions, but to actually think of the sacrifice that he made for us. A sacrifice none of us could have made. I've heard it said, and I'm not criticizing the person because I know people have said it. I've heard many people say this. And I know they mean it in a good way, but people have said, "Jesus took my spot as a sacrifice." No, he didn't. Because even if I would have sacrificed myself for my sins, I'm not worthy enough for my sins. It took Jesus and Jesus only to be worthy enough as a sacrifice. I could offer myself for sacrifice for you. That's not worthy enough. You could for somebody. That's not worthy enough. Only Jesus. And he says, when you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. We remember his death. A sacrifice above all sacrifices. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." In an old New American Standard Bible that I grew up with, it said, "For when we were still helpless." This is New King James Version, but that New American Standard, while we were still helpless, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, which I was one of those. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think this passage is interesting in the sense that it says, scarcely for a righteous man one will die, but maybe for a good man someone would. Not a doubt in my mind, there are people right here, probably every one of us, that would give our life for somebody else. We probably all have individuals in our life that we would take my life instead of theirs at the drop of a hat without even thinking about it. But when it comes to our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, that wouldn't even be good enough. We can't exchange each other's lives because that's sinful also. It took the life of Jesus, the Son of God, to forgive us of our sins. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul, and you know he knew more than this, but he's telling the Corinthians, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, you know he knew a lot. He demonstrated that in his writings, in the accounts of his teachings, but everything he taught was springboarded off of this concept that everything was based on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him giving his life as a sacrifice for us. In Hebrews 9, starting in verse 11, going through 15, the Hebrew writer explains this situation, kind of puts it in perspective for us. It says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Just, I want to stop here for just a moment. If I was going to make the sacrifice for myself, I wouldn't even be able to do what he did, because he entered as the high priest. He was capable of doing that. I wouldn't even be capable of going and doing what Jesus did for me. He entered the most holy place once for all. Not on a yearly basis. Not on a yearly basis. But once for all, because having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. He did it once for all. The Israelite priest had to go once a year, present that offering. Not, and Jesus was not only the high priest, he was the sacrifice. He presented himself. Jesus wanted us to remember that sacrifice every week when he instituted what we refer to as the Lord's Supper, when he told his apostles, after he broke the bread, gave it to them, said, "This is my body." And when he gave them the cup and said, "This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And from that moment, they had been doing it every week, just like we are, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. One of the things we often associate with what kind of separates Jesus, not only was he worthy of the sacrifice, unlike us, he rose from the dead. That kind of makes him unique also. That he conquered death. Not only did he sacrifice himself, but what credibility did he establish? Because death could not hold him. Another thing that we do remember is his resurrection. That 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead, that God the Father raised him, that sacrifice. We have the gospel accounts. Each one of the gospels records the resurrected Jesus. I would encourage you this week to maybe take some time and look in Matthew the 28th chapter. Read Mark 16. Read Luke the 24th chapter. Read John 20 and 21 about the risen Savior. In Acts 4:10, Peter and John are being called before the Sanhedrin, chastised. They'd been thrown in prison because of their preaching. They stood up against the civil authorities. The man that would tell us that to be good Christians, we've got to obey the civil authorities. Yes, we do. What better of a way to behave as a Christian as to obey the laws? But the man that would write that, the Apostle Peter, defies the civil authorities. They were told, quit preaching. They were sent to prison, to jail. They had healed a lame man that had been lame from birth. And in Acts 4:10, Peter says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So much for not preaching anymore in his name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we get a pretty detailed account where Paul explains to the Corinthians all the people, the evidences that prove that, yes, Jesus died. He was a sacrifice, but what makes him a better sacrifice than it? Lots of people have died. Lots of people have been executed. The difference is this one came back from the dead. Paul says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. There's an amen right there. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, which was Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. I find this interesting. It's not just a cleverly devised tale that a few people got together and devised this. He was seen by over 500 different people, most of whom are still alive. This just wasn't a back alley scheme, hand of trickery. Over 500 people saw him at one time, and most are still alive. You tell them he didn't raise from the dead. See what response you get. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Even Paul got to see him. Jesus wanted us to remember his death absolutely every first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper. But that sacrifice for our sins was different than any other sacrifice ever. Many people, many Christians later on would go on to be crucified horribly. Not for anybody's sins, but they would be crucified. The difference between remembering Jesus' death is that he was resurrected. That God the Father resurrected him from the dead. Kind of a hard one to overlook. The world, worldwide today, are remembering that resurrected Jesus. And rightly so. It is an event worthy of remembrance. But we remember his death, his sacrifice for our sins weekly, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. I would like to welcome you back tonight. This is the end of the month. We're having our scripture and singing worship tonight. Men, if you're planning on coming back, if you would like to participate and pick a scripture to read, by all means, find your favorite scripture. We'll plug you in for that. On our last Sunday in the month, we also have a potluck. So I'd like to welcome you back tonight. Visitors, feel free to come back tonight also. If we can be of any aid to you, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we never like to close an assembly without offering the invitation. Don is going to sing a song in a moment, and we'd like to extend the invitation to you. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you have prayers that you would like for us to pray with and for you, if there's sin in your life and you need to repent and you need to publicly repent, by all means, don't let another minute go by without doing that. If you're looking for a church home, I hope you'll reconsider us. Whatever your need, please come while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing. All right.